Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Willie D is down in Atlanta with his son playing a little baseball tournament. He'll be back on the show on Monday. And I know I saw a hit yesterday that was put out on Twitter. A nice rope down the line from one Mahoney Donick. So we'll get all the details.
That was nice.
On Monday. So you saw it too?
I did. I did. I saw it on Aaron's Twitter.
Well, it was actually put out, I think, from the night. You're right. Yeah. I think he plays for the Knights. And right. I think they actually put it out, and Aaron kind of retweeted it and commented. In fact, it was funny. Her comment was, that's my son?
Yeah. That was
only
awesome.
Aaron Donnie could respond like that. And I just started cracking up, and I watched the video. Nice rope down the line. That was an impressive hit. So we'll get all the deets from Willie on Monday on how it went down in Atlanta. Speaking of football, we're going to talk with Alan Bell here in just a moment with Sportsline. I'm going to have a Facebook Live tonight at 6 o'clock with Lipscomb Academy head coach, former Ravens quarterback, Super Bowl champion Trent Dilfer will join me tonight for a Facebook Live at 6 o'clock. So a little game night action here tonight at 6. So I hope a lot of you can check that out. Trent Dilfer, if you've never heard him on our show, he is fantastic to listen to. This is going to be an easy interview. I'm just going to wind Trent up and let him go. And he's a motivational speaker. He really is. Like, you can see why he's into coaching. He's such a good teacher. I'm always fascinated with the conversations with Trent Dilfer. I'm also fascinated with our conversations with our next guest, Alan Bell from Sportsline. He is on the line with us. Alan, how you doing?
Gentlemen, y'all doing all right?
Yeah, how about you?
Doing well.
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to that interview with Dilfer tonight, man. You're right. He is such a great guest. He really is.
Have you ever spoken to Trent?
No, I haven't. I've obviously listened to multiple interviews, but never spoken to him personally.
He is he's a fascinating guy. He really is. We've done some shows over at Lipscomb Academy, and he's come over and hung out with us. And I've enjoyed the on-air conversations, but I've probably enjoyed the off-air conversations, if not the same, even better. I mean, he's just a wealth of knowledge, and I'm looking foruard to that tonight. I just saw where Luke Kuechly is going to stay with the Panthers, and he's going to be in a front office role. Are you still surprised that Luke Kuechly is done?
Yeah, I mean, I am. You know, I totally get it, you know, in terms of his health. And, you know, really it kind of started with Chris Borland, you know, with the 49ers years ago.
Yep.
And, you know, applaud those guys for, you know, taking care of themselves. And I'm glad that Kuechly could stay around football, you know, because I know how hard of a transition it can be to something you've done your entire life, and then you're just kind of, you know, finished. So I'm glad for him, and good for the Panthers. I mean, with a young coaching staff that's obviously new and a team that's rebuilding, he's going to be a good face to have around there for everybody involved.
Looks like, and I know the Titans are not going to be back today. Looks like they're going to wait till Monday, but the NFL did say yesterday that the staffs can return to the facilities, and I know, I believe everybody's been green-lighted in the league except for, did I see the 49ers? They're still not going to be returning yet?
Correct, yeah. The 49ers aren't. They're going to take their time, which has kind of been their plan. We saw today Mike Tomlin of the Steelers returned. Zach Taylor of the Bengals did. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a little bit different, you know, of how every team goes about it, but it's a big step, and it's a good one. You know, it just goes to show that the NFL – you got to applaud them. I mean, they're handling this as best as they can, taking their time. They're not log jamming everybody in, you know, kind of letting, you know, people decide on their own and just following the steps correctly. The NFL doesn't always do PR and things like that correctly, but they're handling this one pretty good.
So it looks like the staff will return. So with that being said, let's just jump right into the deep end of the pool. I mean, everybody is still sitting here wondering, and you know, I feel like we've been talking to you about this for 6 months. Maybe it has been 6 months. I don't know. With the facilities opening back up, it's very clear that people want to get their eyeballs on Jadeveon Clowney. The teams want to actually have him in the facility. They want to look at him. They want to have their people look at him before any decisions are made. Do you think this is going to maybe have Clowney news in the very near future with the facilities opening back up?
I do. And let me say this, you know, whether or not he ultimately signs, you know, I don't know, but you have to think, you know, with coaches, GMs, getting back to just normal operation, being in the facility, it's going to spur conversations. It's going to spur, you know, meetings about this of teams that are interested, you know, just kind of whiteboarding it, saying, okay, let's break this thing down. How can we get this guy signed? So if you're John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, you're sitting there saying, all right, you know, here's the number that he wants. How can we get creative? So I think anytime that you have these guys, you know, around each other, physically in the room, you know, discussing this, it's going to, you know, progress things. But again, it all comes down to when does Jadeveon want to sign? What number does he want? Does he want to wait until training camp, you know, kind of get his leverage in there? That's obviously the ultimate decision. But yes, I mean, I had to think that more offers and unique ideas are going to come out of this.
If the reports are true that the Browns offered him $12 million a year and he turned that down, and they were the highest bidder out there supposedly, does that mean we are to expect that his number is going to be below that? Or what do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a couple things to take from it, right? So first is, you know, if he turned that down, you know, what exactly is Clowney looking for, right? So if it were all about money, I think he would have signed that, because I don't think his number is going to go higher because teams just literally can't afford to do it, right? Seattle, you know, is in a bit of a crunch. Tennessee's in a bit of a crunch, not as bad as Seattle. But again, these teams just don't have a ton of money to throw at them. So, you know, it seems like there is a little bit beyond just money. It could, you know, look at, you know, the amount of years, you know, that he's looking to do on a deal. And the team, I think that's a big portion of this as well, is where can he go make a big impact and win. And I think Tennessee offers a better option than anybody, not only for the team being good, but the experience, you know, he's had with Mike Vrabel. And if Clowney's looking at a one-year deal, well, then there's no better place to go than Tennessee, because you can come in on a really good team, make an impact, and if you want to go to free agency again next year, your number's going to shoot, you know, through the moon. So it just makes complete sense that Tennessee would be the team for him. But again, you know, it all depends on what's on his mind.
Yeah, and it seems like he's a guy that, you know, we keep hearing that, you know, needs to stay motivated. And we used to have these conversations about Albert Haynesworth. He was so good, so dominant, but you always would hear takes plays off or needs to be, you know, motivated sometimes to get that motor running like that. At all. They want to see that more. That seems like the same kind of narrative or storyline around Clowney. And to me, I can't think of a better motivator than to have him in the AFC South going up against the Texans twice a year. I mean,
oh,
wouldn't that 100%.
Motivate him? And, you know, yeah, no, I agree with you. And think about this also. You know, when the Tom Brady discussions were here, right, when he was in free agency, you know, what did we talk about, you know, specifically on this show, is that Mike Vrabel and John Robinson know Tom Brady better than anybody. So if they're interested or not interested, you know, they've got the best perspective on that. So take that and think about Jadeveon Clowney and what you just laid out. Mike Vrabel knows him better than anyone. So if Tennessee is truly motivated to go get him, you know, that goes to show that Vrabel knows exactly what he's going to get and he wants him. But if Tennessee, you know, kind of falls out, you know, in terms of, you know, a high price or even wanting to sign him all to begin with, again, that's Mike Vrabel saying, look, I know this guy completely. He's not worth this money. We'd like him, but again, we're not going to do it. So I watch Mike Vrabel here and watch what the Titans do, because, I mean, you know, Vrabel will show you exactly what he thinks and what the team thinks about him.
Good points. Good points. Let's say that they are able to get it done and they pull him in here. Isn't it pretty clear in everybody's mind, don't the Titans then become the front runner to win the AFC South by everybody, right? I mean, aren't they? I know it's a dangerous game. The Browns were crowned last year in the offseason. They didn't work out well, but I feel like everybody's going to rush to crown the Titans the AFC South champ if that happens. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I agree. I think you'll see a pretty good shift in Vegas line. And, you know, think about it where we're at right now. It's pretty much neck and neck, the Titans and the Colts. You know, depending on the book you're going to look at, one will be favored, but it's going to be right there neck and neck. So I think if Tennessee does go and make that kind of splash signing, you'll see, you know, a dramatic shift in sports books that favor them, you know, NFL analysts that favor the Titans, because, I mean, that's just such a good signing on a team that's already solid and good and returning pretty much, you know, almost everyone, at least, you know, starters on offense and most of them on defense. So, yeah, I mean, Tennessee would absolutely, you know, not only be favored, but they would certainly be talked about in a news cycle where there's not much going on.
We're talking to Alan Bell from Sportsline, 24/7 Sports. And I do have a gambling question for you in just a second, but we'll start with Devontae Freeman. He's still a free agent, still got maybe a little something left in the tank, but not what he once was. Tampa, that's kind of been out there. He has said Tampa needs to contact him directly. What would you think about that, Devontae Freeman and the Bucs?
Well, Tampa Bay makes the most sense, right? They need a running game, and he would certainly help. And not only in just rushing, but a guy who can catch passes out of the backfield, which Tom Brady loves, you know, that aspect of the offense, right? The problem is that Tampa Bay only has about $5 million in salary cap. Plus, you want to keep about $1 million on hand during the season in case you have an injury. You know, you don't want to wipe out all your funds. So Freeman's going to have to look at a reduced number if he's going to sign with him. The Sportsline, we actually put out the odds today on Devontae Freeman and where he would sign. The leader is the Philadelphia Eagles. The Bucks are second, pretty close neck and neck. You know, Eagles are plus 250, Bucks plus 300. Interesting. Third is the Tennessee Titans. All right. And, really? You know, I know that it's kind of a crazy thought, but adding someone like him, if the price is right, to have a number two behind Henry, pair him up with Darrington Evans, and then a guy that Tannehill can use in that swing pass game, kind of what they wanted to do with Deion Lewis, is an interesting aspect. So keep that on your mind. Just keep a look at what his price tag is going to be and what he's looking for.
Well, I was going to just ask that, just for giggles, because I have seen on Twitter, you know, would the Titans be interested in Devontae Freeman? They just drafted Darrington Evans, as you said. But I wonder if part of the evolution of the offense could be using, you know, having that Deion Lewis, or what you hope Deion Lewis was going to be, using that even more. And if you have two guys that are capable of doing that, I guess that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not, you know. And, we heard Arthur Smith talk the other day in terms of the offense. And what he said is what, you know, you guys have been saying for a while, which makes complete sense. You know, they want to balance this offense around a lot of stud star type players, right? And, you know, the more diverse you are, the harder you are to defend. So, you know, I think it's an interesting look. And again, you know, Derrick Henry, it'll be better for everyone, you know, if he isn't, you know, I don't want to say the you know, leading rusher, you know, the NFL season again. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it works out better if you're more diverse and more difficult to defend. So I think it's an interesting idea. Again, Clowney part is going to come into it. The money part is going to come into it. But it's not a bad idea at all.
Well, it's funny you bring that up about Derrick Henry, because we were talking about this last week, and I said I actually think he can have a better year than he did last year. And I know that's saying a lot and that's crazy, but I really do. And I brought that up with former Titans safety Michael Griffin, got his thoughts on it. And he said the thing that really helps Derrick is he's so big and hard to bring down. So it's not crazy to think that he could continue to get better, just because if he gets, you know, gets to the next level, you're not going to catch him. It's hard to bring him down. So I've seen some books have him at 40-1, some have him at 50-1 to win the MVP. What do you think about that, even though you know the others that are going to be contending for it?
So I think you bring up a good multifaceted question, right? So first off, I'll say this. I don't disagree with you. Derrick Henry could repeat and almost be better than he was last year, and he could possibly do it on less carries, right? Like, if this offense is truly diverse, it's going to be even harder to take down Derrick Henry late in games and late in the season. So I agree with you on that. And then two, you know, the MVP is difficult because it's really become such – just a quarterback award, right? Like, it's so difficult to take that away from quarterbacks because they just get all the votes. But again, you know, if Derrick Henry does what he did last year, I mean, think about, you know, it's hard for us to have the perfect perspective because we all knew about Derrick Henry, at least locally. But think about, like, the end of the year and end of the playoffs of the national story he became. Like, everyone started to understand what Nashville already knew, that this guy is just a monster, right? So if he comes out and just has just a killer season, you know, all the way through, he will get votes. He'll be in the conversation. The hard part is that it's just so difficult with quarterbacks out there that just put up just gargantuan numbers.
Alan, as we kind of wrap this up, how do you think the league is going to, I don't know if handle is the right word, or what do you think is, how do you think this 2020 year is going to play out with what's going on in our country? I mean, there's news surrounding an NFL player like every day around this, whether it's Jake Fromm, whether it's Drew Brees, whether it's Matt Ryan, you know, saying what he said and doing what he's doing, you know, the Vikings taking the day off so they can attend a memorial. How do you think this season is going to play out?
Yeah, it's going to be tough, right? I mean, there's so much going on across the country in terms of, you know, everything with, you know, protests and things like that. So if looking at the NFL, I think that what the approach that they'll take is this, is that they're not going to put out a ton of statements and rules and regulations. I think you'll see them kind of, you know, sit on the back burner a little bit and just listen, right, and let the players and teams guide them of where they want to help. And the NFL, you know, the one big thing that they have that they can do is that they have money, right? Like, they have money, and I think you'll see a league really put out even more than they have, you know, the last couple years, and just try to go about that approach. And I think it's a smart approach. I think it's a good approach. Just listen, let, you know, the players and coaches and, you know, all that, they'll point you in the right direction. So I think the NFL is going to take a very cautious and heed approach and just kind of let them show where they can help. And they'll certainly do that and just try to, you know, keep everything, you know, just kind of de-escalated, not, you know, try to force anything. And if they do that, I think it'll be the right approach.
Yep. Training camp message was put out there. Everybody needs to stay at their facility. No joint training camps. Is this all signs pointing towards it's business as usual for the NFL? Are we expecting a late July training camp around the Titans and around the league?
Yeah, I do. And I think that they're going to get this thing going, and they'll take it day by day and, you know, do the best they can. But what we've seen from the NFL, you know, from the draft and everything is that they're going to be smart in their approach, but there will be the NFL, and they're going to have a season, and they're going to go about it. So they've been smart this offseason, kept it cool, but they're going to get into training camp, get into the preseason. And again, you know, you'll probably have some players or coaches that test positive, but they're going to handle that in an intelligent way. And, I would not be worried about an NFL season. It's going to happen.
Alan, good stuff as always. We appreciate the visit. You have a great weekend. Continue to be safe.
Man, y'all too. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Alan. That is Alan Bell with Sportsline. CBS Sports does a really good job of covering the NFL. We will come back more on the other side of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.